Roger.
Okay, now, think I ought to be farther away or closer?
Can't get too much further away.
We can see
Let's
the entire land.
Like that for a while. I'll get a couple panoramas with it here.
Roger, you look okay as far as distance goes, Neil, and we'll line you up again when you finish the panorama. You're going too fast on the panorama sweep. You're going to have to stop for...
Neil,
I haven't set it down yet. That's the first picture in the panorama, right there.
Roger.
We can see a rather rocky lunar surface.
I'm taking north-northeast.
In the north-northeast direction from the landing spot.
Tell me if you got a picture, Houston.
Well, we've got a beautiful picture, Neil.
This is getting back around toward
the
sun.
Okay, I'm going to move it.
He's swinging now more around toward the west, just a bit, I believe.
Okay, there's another good one.
Lots of rocks and boulders in this picture. We can see a ridge and a rock that's split in two on the horizon.
Okay, we got that one.
He slowly...
Okay, now this one's right down sun, straight west.
Straight west.
And I want to know if you can see an angular rock in the foreground.
Roger, we have a large angular rock in the foreground and looks like a much smaller rock, a couple of inches to the left of it. Over.
And then on beyond it, about 10 feet, is an even larger rock that's very rounded.
Rather large rock, and we can see some...
That rock is about, the closest one to you is about sticking out of the sand about 1 foot. And it's about a foot and a half long, and it's about 6 inches thick, but it's standing on edge.
Roger.
This is a rock to the west with the sun coming right over the from behind the camera, right over Neil's shoulder.
Hey, Neil, I've got the table out. Got a bag deployed.
We got this view, Neil.
Another view with lots of small rocks in it. And on the horizon, you can see rocks along a ridge line. We can see the shadow of the limb now.
Roger, and we see the shadow of the limb.
And the hill.
Roger,
the little hill just beyond the shadow of the limb is a pair of elongate craters. Probably the pair together is 40 feet long and 20 feet across, and they're probably 6 feet deep. We'll probably get some more work in there later.
Now, back to the lunar module. He is directly north of the lunar module. On the y-axis, the plus y-axis of the spacecraft.
Roger, and we see Buzz going about his work.
How's that for a final...
For a final orientation, we'd like it to come left about 5 degrees, over.
Whoops, I think he went too far.
Back to the right about half as much.
Buzz is deploying...
Okay.
Buzz is working back around the mesa area. I think he has unwound the solar wind.
Okay, that looks
experiment.
Good there, Neil.
Yeah, that looks good there, Neil.
He has a long tube there.
Okay.
Buzz is standing right next to the...
1 hour, 7 minutes time expended.
Buzz is standing right next to the northernmost footpad. Neil has now put the camera on its tripod and has left it sitting about...
Okay, you can make a mark, Houston.
Roger,
fine.
We can see Armstrong walking back into the picture now. The light coming from the left of the picture.
And incidentally, you can use the shadow that the staff makes to... just getting it perpendicular.
Aldrin has deployed.
Buzz is erecting the solar wind experiment now.
That's the metallic window shade device to detect particles coming from the sun. It seems to be
some of these small depressions
moving a bit.
Big soft, and you tend to think, oh, maybe 2 or 3 inches. I can suggest exactly what the air picture showed when they pushed away a little bit. You can see force transmitted through the upper surface of the soil, and about 5 or 6 inches of bay. Breaks loose and moves as if it were caked on the surface, when in fact it really isn't.
Aldrin's.
I noticed in the soft spots where we had footprints nearly an inch deep that the soil is very cohesive, and it will retain a slope of probably 70 degrees on the side of the footprint.
Both astronauts' voices cutting out slightly during those transmissions. They're describing the cohesiveness of the surface. Neil said that in some of the small slopes and little craters that they maintain a slope of almost 70 degrees without the dirt spilling down into the hole. That's the essence of what he was communicating to us. Buzz mentioned the fact that you can kick it up just a bit, and he noticed some rocks protruding. Both men are now silhouetted as they have gone to the shady side of the limb near the ladder and footpad. Remember, the sun is coming from the reverse side of the lunar module, away from them to the left from the position at which the camera is stationed at this point. We can see them silhouetted against the lunar surface beyond. They're working at the MESA table now. But
all limb systems still looking good.
Buzz has removed one of the rock boxes, the SRC's sample return containers. He has mounted the small portable table, work table, on the front of the limb, on the edge of the limb, and into this, with a rock box on the table, into this will be stored all of the samples they will collect of lunar material.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's best.
I believe this is to be the position of that television camera for the remainder of the lunar surface activity. They've been out there, or have been in a depressurized environment. Didn't quite read that. That communication is cutting out just a bit. They've been in the lunar environment for 1 hour and 10 minutes now.
That part.
We can see them working with the MESA, now removing some of the tools. They're scheduled now.
Head up to the rocker.
They've got the scoop and the tongs, and now they're going around to pick up some of the sample material. We can see both men as they're moving to a point.
I'll have to extend that one.
No. They're working with two long tubes.
Columbia, Columbia, this is Houston, ALS, over.
We can see Armstrong with his back to us, I believe, Aldrin to the left. They may be working with the flag, which is to be deployed.
Neil Armstrong has been on the lunar surface now almost 45 minutes.
They're still running a bit behind schedule in the timeline of events. We're watching, the two men are still at work trying to open up some device.
Houston, Columbia, on high gain, over.
Columbia, this is Houston reading you loud and clear, over.
Yeah, this is Houston reading.
Columbia coming back
into...
Yeah,
clear. How's it going?
Roger. The EVA is progressing beautifully. I believe they're setting up the flag now.
Great.
That indeed must be the case. They're setting up the flag. We're taking it from...
I guess you're about the
container.
Only person around that doesn't have TV coverage of the scene.
That's all right. I don't mind a bit. How is the quality of the TV?
Oh, it's beautiful.
There's
Mike,
the
really
American
is.
Flag.
Oh, geez, that's great. Is the lighting halfway decent?
Yes, indeed. They've got the flag up now, and you can see the stars and stripes
They've
on the lunar surface.
Up now, and you can see the stars and stripes on the lunar surface. Beautiful, just beautiful.
That's Mike Collins, who's now come around the backside of the moon again. One of the astronauts just pushed the staff of the flag into the surface. This is the nylon American flag, which is to be deposited and left on the surface of the moon.
If you can pull that end off a little bit.
It's a little hard to push the staff all the way down into the surface. It wants to fall over, it looks like. They are moving it around and trying to get a proper position for it. We can still see one of the astronauts picking it up and down and trying to make a hole for the staff, for the pole, into the surface. Apparently this surface is quite hard under the powdery material right on top. There. They've accomplished that. Now it's standing. The timeline is still just a bit behind schedule. They have evaluated the terrain, visibility. They have taken some pictures in all directions. They have moved the television camera in panoramic views. Neil Armstrong has done that. Buzz Aldrin has deployed the solar wind experiment. It is now facing into the sun, soaking up any solar particles which may be flowing across the surface of the moon there in that vacuum environment. They have not yet closed and sealed or filled one of the rock boxes, which is due to be accomplished by this time. So they're still several minutes behind the original schedule. We can,
Neil, this is Houston. Radio check, over.
It's a radio.
Hi, Roger. Houston, loud and clear.
Roger out.
Loud and clear, Houston.
Roger, Buzz.
Both Neil and Buzz reading the Earth loud and clear. They hadn't said anything for the last few minutes. I'm sure Mission Control wanted to get a communications check. Both are walking around now. You could almost say waddling around, being very, very cautious. Once the leg is moved, we can tell that they spring slightly into the off the surface, I don't want to say into the air, and so they must be rather cautious in order to maintain balance, but they have both adjusted very easily to this environment. We can see one of the men almost loping back away from the lunar module now. They're beginning to...
I'd like to evaluate the
that's
various
Buzz.
Spaces that a person can... traveling on the surface. I believe I'm out of your field of view. Is that right now, Houston?
That's affirmative, Buzz.
Buzz has moved off to the right or to the east. He's back in now, and he's...
You're in our field of view now.
You do have to be...
in our field of view.
All right, you do have to be rather careful to keep track of where your center of mass is. Sometimes it takes about two or three spaces to make sure that you've got your feet underneath you.
He is bouncing around as he's talking to us, coming toward the camera, taking loping strides, sailing up into the air about 6 inches.
About two to three or maybe four easy phases can bring you to a fairly smooth stop.
Three or four paces to bring you to a smooth stop.
Direction. Like a football player, you just have to put out to the side and cut a little bit.
It appears to be adjusting quite easily to the 1/6 Earth gravity, and it's a springy lope. That's the best way I can describe it, and he's adjusting.
So-called kangaroo hop.
Here
he's... Work, but it seems though your forward stability is not quite as good as it is in the conventional, more conventional one, but after another.
The kangaroo hop, or two-footed hop, doesn't seem to be quite as good as loping 1 foot after the other. Chris Kraft once predicted that by the time this EVA was over, they'd practically take one leap into the...
same pace might be. I think one that I'm using now.
Buzz is moving
which,
all over the surface quite fast.
After several hundred.
It looks as though he's running, but...
But this may be a function of his suit, as well as lack of gravity force here.
Up into the air, first off 1 foot, then off the other. He's doing this in front of the camera so that we can see it. Neil Armstrong is working back around the...
Base. This is Houston. Can we get both of you on the camera for a minute, please?
Houston calling Tranquility Base. Neil is back near the vicinity of the mesa.
Roger, we'd like to get both of you in the field of view of the camera for a minute. Neil and Buzz, the President of the United States is in his office now and would like to say a few words to you. Over.
That would be an honor.
Go ahead, Mr. President. This is Houston out.
Hello, Neil and Buzz. I'm talking to you by telephone from the Oval Room at the White House. And this certainly has to be the most historic telephone call ever made. I just can't tell you how proud we all are of what you... For every American, this has to be the proudest day of our lives. And for people all over the world, I am sure they, too, join... with the President in recognizing what an immense feat this is. Because of what you have done, the heavens have become a part of man's world. And as you talk to us from the Sea of Tranquility, it inspires us to redouble our efforts to bring peace and tranquility to Earth. For one priceless moment in the whole history of man, all the people on this earth are truly one. One in their pride in what you have done. And one in our prayers that you will return safely to Earth.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's a great honor and privilege for us to be here representing not only the United States, but and of peace of all nations, and with interest and a curiosity and with a vision for the future. Honor for us to be able to participate here today.
And thank you very much, and I look forward, all of us look forward to seeing you on the Hornet on Thursday.
Look forward to that very much, sir.
And Buzz Aldrin saluted.
Columbia, Columbia, this is Houston, over.
Both men have, both men have turned back.
I got a P-22 auto optics pad for you.
Both men back now by the mesa area. Buzz going into that lope of his again, moving off.
Go ahead.
Roger, P-22, landmark ID, LEM, T1-110-2656, T2-110-2656, 3206, 3 miles south. Time of closest approach, 110-33-40.
While this information is being passed up to Spacecraft Columbia, to Mike Collins, who is overhead listening and watching, Buzz Aldrin is again bouncing across the surface, almost as though springs were in his feet. If you remember the childhood game in which you mounted these small bed springs on slats on your feet and bounced around sort of around the street in your neighborhood, you may anticipate or understand what Buzz Aldrin looks like as he's going through the athletics of evaluating navigation, pedal navigation on the moon.
To note that when I kick my foot,
that's all good.
No atmosphere here in this cavity. They seem to leave, and most of them have about the same angle of departure and velocity. Just where I stand, the large portion of them will impact at a certain distance out. There are several percentage, of course, that will impact different regions out, but it's highly dependent upon
Aldrin,
the initial trajectory upwards.
He's describing the way rocks,
where most of the priority of the particles come down, like the terrain.
He's talking about how rocks go up into the air. I'll use the word
Buzz
again.
And break, Columbia, this is Houston. When you track out of high gain antenna limits, request Omni Delta. Omni Delta, over.
Buzz was demonstrating how rocks scatter when his feet come down into the surface.
Going from the sunlight into shadow, that just as I go in, I catch an additional reflection off the limb, along with the reflection off my face onto the visor, makes visibility very poor just at the transition sunlight into the shadow. I essentially have so much glare coming onto my visor, I'm in shadow, until the helmet actually gets shadow, and then it takes a short while for my eyes to adapt to lighting conditions.
That's Aldrin describing how light bounces off his helmet and off of other surfaces and impairs his vision. You're listening to this description of astronauts Armstrong and Aldrin on the moon as they broadcast live back to Earth. This broadcast coming to you through the Voice of America.
Being out in the sunlight mile, it takes watch it, Neil, you're on the cable.
No, okay. Armstrong's bouncing around.
Your right foot. It's still, your toe is still hooked in it.
That one?
Yeah, it's still hooked in it. A minute. Okay, you're clear now.
Thank you.
Let's move that over this way.
Armstrong is using his scoop or the tongs.
Neil Armstrong has the scoop for the bulk sample collection.
With this scoop, he will pick up material at random, but according to his training from geologists, and they will fill one of the rock boxes, one of the sample. Oh, he's picking up a big one there. He can't quite get the scoop under it. He's having some trouble. This is just a meter or so away from the north or plus y-axis footprint. I think he got it.
The boot color of my boots have completely disappeared now into this I don't know exactly what color to describe this other than grayish cocoa color.
Grayish cocoa
seems
color.
Be covering most of the wider part of the boot. Color that fine particles.
Aldrin, Aldrin says that the blue of his boot cover is covered.
You're cutting out on the end of your transmission. Can you speak a little more closely into your microphone, over?
Roger, I'll try that.
Beautiful.
Well, I had that one inside my mouth that time.
One of his microphones almost inside his mouth. Neil is continuing to pick up rock samples and put them in one of the boxes. Buzz is maneuvering around, describing the surface area, the fact that
Neil's been on the surface an hour now.
Buzz has been out about 20 to 25 minutes less than that.
Buzz, not quite 20 minutes less than that.
We can see Neil going for a rock that was reflecting quite a bit of light.
Time spent in the shadow doesn't seem to have any thermal effects. Maybe we're still inside the suit. There is a difference, of course, in the coming radiation and helmet, so I think there's a tendency to feel a little cooler in the shadow than we are out in the sun.
Neil picked up one rock, and I think he dropped one. No, there is some sort of reflection there. Sort of a reverse ghost in the picture.
1 hour and a half expended on the PLSSs now.
Columbia, this is Houston, over.
Another hour and 10 minutes in the scheduled EVA. A call to Mike Collins from Houston. He's going overhead. 53 minutes until he goes out of touch again. Neil Armstrong continuing to pick up rocks very near the lunar module and putting them in one of the sample return containers, the rock boxes, as they're more familiarly called. Buzz Aldrin is out of view off to the east, to the right of our TV view of these men moving about on the surface of the moon. Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin just running slightly behind schedule.
Columbia, this is Houston, over.
Behind schedule in the timeline.
Houston, Columbia, Delta.
Roger, you should have VHF AOS with the LEM right about now. VHF LOS will be at 40 minutes, 15 seconds, over.
Mike Collins should be able to talk to the astronauts on the surface through VHF radio communications. That means he's very close to being overhead. Neil is beginning to pick up this loping stride too and moving about. He sees a lot of interesting rocks. Most of this activity is taking place just to the north and northeast of the landing spot, within 5 to 10 meters
heart rates
of the touchdown
spot. Crewmen averaging between 90 and 100. Flight surgeon reports they're right on the predicted number of the BTU units expended in energy of work.
Flight surgeons have learned a lot.
And he thinks they're in great shape.
Flight surgeons have learned very much.